Good morning. Harry approached me in January and asked me to give a testimony. And because of our crazy schedules, we have to push back and reschedule over and over. So here I am for the long due testimony. I came to America through a culture exchange program sponsored by Walt Disney World in 1989. It was a one-year program, and I had planned on returning home for a joint business venture with friends. 2 months before my contract ended, former President George H. Bush signed the Chinese Student Protection Act to protect those who protested against the Chinese government's cruelty committed in Tiananmen Square massacre by extending their stay in U.S. to avoid the government's persecution. This act automatically extended my visa for another 4 years. And the type of visa I got enabled me to pay resident tuition for college. So I took the opportunity to stay here and go to college. And because of the extended stay, I came to know the Lord and was ever grateful for His divine intervention in my life. After finishing my work at Disney, I moved to Chicago. I rented a room in an old couple's home and got ready for school. They were Christians and told me about an evangelical Christian conference about to take place in Madison, Wisconsin. I wasn't really interested in Christianity because I thought Christians were a bunch of weak-minded, emotional, challenged people. But the couple were very enthusiastic and persistent. They paid the fee for me and found the right for me to go as well. And so, for not to disappoint them, I went. I thought I could just treat it as a little getaway vacation, you know, take it easy, do my own thing, and stay warm in the hotel. It's very cold in the winter in Midwest in that time. So, little did I know, when I walked into the lobby of the hotel, I had already been assigned to a small group. The group leader greeted me warmly and invited me for dinner. After dinner, the conference began. I didn't quite understand what the speaker was talking about, but it was the first time in my life I heard the name of Jesus and His salvation. After the meeting, there was small group discussion. I found myself engaged in a heated debate. Apparently, I was the only non-believer in the group, 8 Christians versus 1 atheist. I asked many questions and argued with them way past midnight. It was quite a shocking experience for the confrontation to take place between two believing systems. For me, it's a very necessary one. Through arguing and debating, I re-evaluated and re-examined my faith, my belief. Deep down, I knew that it was pretty shaky. I figured out for myself some long time ago that communism was unworthy of believing. The only savior I knew about was the deceased Chairman Mao. I attended political meetings from the time when I was 3. I had to go because my grandma had to attend those meetings. The government organized everybody to study their policies, public documents, and Chairman Mao's red books. It was mandatory and organized through school system, workplace, and neighborhood. Loudspeakers were put in public squares and streets to broadcast the same thing. And I remember I hated to go to these meetings and hearing those boring and empty political terms. In grade school, I was told humans evolved from monkeys. Every time I visited the zoo, I often stopped by in front of the monkey's cage and wondering, what have these monkeys do to be left behind? Am I really related to these animals? In those days, you dare not to challenge authorities, and so I keep to myself. I was also told there was no God, but they made us worship Mao like God. They wrote many songs to praise Him. One of the songs I learned before I even started school is called The Redness in the East, which praises Mao as the rising sun from the East who brought blessings to His people and was the Savior. I was 8 years old when Mao died. The whole nation mourned Him for many days. We all had to go to the local mourning home to pay our respects, bowing our heads before His portrait. Lots of people around me cried so hard as they know Him personally. I remember I wanted to cry so badly, but I couldn't squeeze a tear out of my eyes. I couldn't fake it. I just did the best to look sad. I like I said, I was angry at him because he was my hero and my savior. How can a savior die? If the savior dies on us, that means there is no hope left for us, which means that the world will come to an end. That's what my thinking was. I literally waited for the sky to fall at some sort of universal explosion for a couple of years. I was raised by my grandma since I was infant until the day she died, and no one ever loved me the way she did. I was well taken care of and well protected, and yet allowed with plenty of freedom. Her love to me was overwhelmingly deep. We were bonded like one, inseparable. Grandma was well respected and I was cute, so we made us a very famous, adorable pair in the neighborhood. When she died, I feel like part of me was gone, and I was 6 years old then. It took me 1 month to comprehend that she would never come back. To wipe my tears, cuddle me in her arms, rock me in her arms, and cook me delicious food, and sing lullabies to me at bedtimes. And my mighty fortress was gone. Somehow I had a strong feeling that she didn't just disappear like my parents told me. I know in my heart that she still exists somewhere in the universe, and I've longed for her love ever since. I looked everywhere for the love like my grandma's, but I couldn't find it. Now the only savior and the hero I trusted was dead. I feel like I was cheated, because a savior shouldn't die. I completely lost hope in the communism at the age of 13. It was not the truth of the world as it proclaimed. The ideology is full of lies and deceits. The consequences of numerous political movements made the whole nation suffer tremendously. Even as a teenager, I saw calamity and destruction more than blessing. Even though I didn't believe in communism, growing up in that environment bombarded with propaganda, their system was still rooted in me. They've done a great job for early education. I wanted something better, but I couldn't find anything better to replace it. I suffered inner struggles intensely, starting at a very young age all the way into adulthood. So I began looking for the real truth. I looked into Buddhism and Taoism. I was quite disappointed there. Taking another chance, I traveled to Tibet when I was 19. But was quite disappointed in Lamanism as well. The only awesome experience I had on the roof of the world was standing before the breathtaking, peaceful river and mighty mountains. I sensed that there is greater power behind the splendid nature. But what is the power and where did it come from? Years after years, thousands of Lama worshippers travel from afar on their feet, and their hands and knees all the way to Lhasa to worship in their sacred temple. The most sincere worshippers would bow down every couple of steps and with their hands and face down on the dirt road and all the way travel to the temple. Because of the long trip, their hair and face are very dirty and clothes were worn and torn, and some even have bleeding knees and hands. But their facial expressions were very sincere and serious. I admired their strength and determination and sacrifices. Watching them, I couldn't help wondering, do they really know what they're doing? Are their idols worthy to be worshipped like this? On the other hand, I envied them because they at least had faith in their religion. I had nothing, only emptiness in me. Now these Christians in my small group desperately wanted to convince me, but they couldn't because I wasn't satisfied with their answers. After 2 days into our exhausted arguments, debates, and reasoning, they thought I was impossible. Later in the conference, I heard the message about God's love. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again. He is the risen Savior and the only truth. I was very interested and curious, and I wanted to know more about it. The program was very intense. It started at 6 in the morning and all the way to 10 at night. By no means was I able to or willing to take it easy now. Looking around, I observed, these Christians possess something I don't have. And either did other religious worshippers I have encountered. These Christians had peace and joy, which I didn't have, and there was even more to that. On the second night, before the speaker closed his message, he gave an invitation by saying, "Those who are willing to accept Jesus Christ, please raise your hand." I closed my eyes and bowed my head like everybody else just to pay my respect to their religion and waited for the evening to end. Suddenly, I saw a bright light in front of me while my eyes were closed. I got nervous and wondering what was happening to me. And then I heard a voice saying to me, "This is the appointed time. If you do not accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, you will never have another opportunity. This is truth that you're looking for." My heart was beating so fast and my mind was racing like crazy. I asked myself, who just talked to me? Why must I decide right now? Why was I giving such short notice? There's still 4 days before the conference is over. What if this is another fake savior or a false religion? I don't want to be trapped and cheated again. But a second thought, what if this is the true God, the only savior for mankind as they preached? What if I don't take this chance right now and I will lose the only opportunity of knowing the real truth I'm looking for and separate from God eternally? And that thought scared me. As I struggled, the light got brighter and brighter, and it seemed pressing on me. And finally, I gave in to the light with mixed feelings. I was somewhat reluctant, somewhat fearful, and somewhat think just try and see if it works for me. I raised my left hand. I was willing, but also reserved. The whole struggle lasted about 30 seconds or so, but it seems like hours for me. Then I heard the speaker praying for us, who raised our hands. Something strange happening in that moment. I felt peace and joy, which I never experienced before, spreading inside me. And what is a phenomenon I couldn't explain? And all of a sudden, I was joyful, overwhelmingly joyful. I felt like I had just entered into a wonderful place. While I was sitting in my chair, enjoying this awesome change in my heart, a friendly lady came over and sat next to me, opened her Bible, and said to me, "I've noticed that you just accept Jesus as your Savior. Congratulations, and I want you to repeat this verse after me." And it was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And for another Christians came over and formed the circle around me and gave me thanks to God and prayed for me. I had this big smile on my face and couldn't contain the joy within me. And one of them said, "Do you know why you are so happy? Because now you are a member of God's family. And the angels are throwing a party in heaven because of you." For the rest of the week, Doris, who read my very first Bible verse to me, helped me understand more scriptures, and we became friends. She was an American missionary who had worked in Hong Kong for more than 40 years, fluent in both Mandarin and Cantonese. She told me that she knew she would be a missionary since she was 5 years old. She has made a great impact in many lives in her mission field. I returned to my small group that evening and told them I had accepted Jesus, and none of them would believe what I did, and they were all shocked. What I didn't tell them was that I was too scared not to believe. If hell is real, who wouldn't want to escape while they still have a chance? And I slept like a baby that night. 2 days later, before the evening small group session began, I returned to my room to freshen up. I opened the door. My roommate wasn't there. A sweet girl from Singapore who usually in the room at this time, and it was the only time two of us can catch up with each other. While I was wondering where she was, I saw a very gentle, small light coming slowly through the window and the closed thick draperies. It was late in the evening and was awfully dark outside, especially in the winter. As I gazed upon the light and wondering, where is this light coming from? It grew bigger and came down on me and covered me from head to toe. Instead of being frightened, I felt very comfortable and safe in it. At the same time, I felt I was being gently lifted up in the air. As I was going up, I felt the love all around me and in me. This love feels so familiar, deep, unselfish, unbounded. It's just like my grandma's love. I feel I was safe and free once again. This love continued to grow deeper and deeper while I was going higher and higher. It surpassed my grandma's love, much more abundant, deeper, pure, and holy. I don't know how to describe this awesome communication God had with me. It was nonverbal, like he was communicating with my soul. I heard him saying, "I am your God. You are my child." I responded, "Yes, you are indeed my God and my truth." My heart shouted, "Oh, God indeed exists, and God is love." And my soul comprehended that God loves me, and he loves even more than my grandma did. And he has chosen me to be his child long before the foundation of the world. I feel like I had reached a very high place where it was awesomely wonderful, perfect, peaceful. I just wanted to stay like that in his love forever. But in the twinkle of an eye, I was safely put back on my fate, and the light gently and slowly withdrew from me and went out of the window. I immediately knelt down and worshipped the true living God, who is holy and mighty, yet loving and compassionate. The only true God I've come to know personally in such a wonderful way. I cried so hard because of his overwhelming love for me. Talking about a weak-minded, emotionally challenged Christian, I become the one on the spot. At this point, all my sins passed through my mind like film rolling inside me. Some sins which I didn't even remember were made aware to me. I confessed each and every one of them as fast as I could and asked God's forgiveness. I felt like I was giving a new heart. The big void and the emptiness inside me were gone. I know I am a completely different person now because God has changed me from within. Many questions were answered after this experience, and I understand that God is the power behind the breathtaking peaceful river and the mighty mountains in Tibet. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible quality, his eternal power and divine nature have been made clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. How foolish to declare God, there is no God. On the way back to Chicago, I saw a significant sunset. It was indescribably beautiful. Now I know beyond the sky, God is up in heaven. He may be far away, but I feel very close to him and feel that he was looking down and smiling at me. The next day, I woke up and saw a spectacular snowfall for the first time in my life. It completely covered everything overnight. I went out and danced around in the snow. The world looked so pure. That was exactly how I felt about myself. Later, I learned a verse that described exactly how I feel at the moment. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, new has come. Looking back, I realized how tenderly and lovingly God has guided my way to know him. I have suffered long enough with that big void and lived a wandering, miserable life without him. Now he has called me to come home. I'm forever grateful that God has chosen me to be one of his own. I'm so glad he enabled me to make the wisest decision and a very crucial moment in my life. Because of this, God transferred me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and I've never able to comprehend his love for me on this earth. How much I love to share this with my grandma. What a marvelous things God has done for me, only if I had a chance. I have no knowledge if she ever had a chance to know Jesus as I did. I've learned to let go what it's beyond my control, but to influence those I still can. Our son Joseph accepted Jesus in his heart when he was 3 on the very fateful day of September 11, 2001. On that Sunday, our pastor Chuck's window held him in his arms, and with his usual big grin, I said, "Thank God there's something good come out of evil." How blessed is he to know our living God is his heavenly Father, and to be able to worship him at a very young age, and to be raised in God's family. And Joseph lost come to covenant fellowship because he said, "These people," he asked me to eliminate the three letter adjective, says, these people are so nice here. So he'd love to come back. So thank you so much for making him and us feel so welcome here. You know, it's great comfort to know your child is in God's hand and he doesn't need to go through what I've been through. So may you and your loved ones never experience the eternal separation. May we encourage each other to stand firm as his light and salt in this world as the darkness is closing in on us. And may we all be called good and faithful when we see his face. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will be found. Knock and it will be opened to you. He also said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Only through Jesus can we find perfect love, peace, and security. I have experienced the fulfillment of both promises because he is the way, the truth, and the life. I used to cling to my grandma's love as the only treasure in my life. Now I have the most valuable treasure in the whole universe, God's love. He will never leave me nor forsake me, and he is our ever-present help.